This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We stopped on the importance of knowledge, or trying to avoid to not practice what we preach and exert our efforts with the knowledge that we gain. Whether it happens to be small elements of knowledge or great amounts, great abundance of knowledge, the key ingredient being that a person tries to implement that knowledge. And as we mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used harsh words, ayat inside the Quran, whereby he highlights, subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا يَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say that which you don't do? كَبْرُ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Grave it is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you say that which you don't do. Likewise, inside Surah Al-Jum'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Bani Israel or Yahud, or people who don't implement their knowledge, as being like Al-Himar, as being like donkeys just carrying books on their back. Is a similitude of knowledge can be gained, it's just like books. But if that knowledge is not implemented, you may as well be like a donkey, as they say, that knowledge has no impact upon you. So as Muslims, we exert our efforts to try to implement whatever we know to the best of our ability. And that is a key element, is al-istita'ah, is trying your best to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we find inside the Quran, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. Whatever you know, try to do that inside your life. Whatever you know you have to abstain from it. And thus we find that, as they say, that sometimes too much knowledge is dangerous as well. That some people try to make ta'wilat, try to reinterpretate basic texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, try to give them a modernistic approach, or try to give them an understanding in the modern world. That those texts and those phrases of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they don't mean that anymore today. It has a different connotation. We live in a different world, in a different climate. And this is dangerous as well, that we find that this concept of a new modern understanding of the nusus, of the text, of the Quran and the Sunnah. Not to say at times it is allowed, but this has become a common theme among certain individuals. And also we find another problem that we face inside our society is the cultural aspect around us and the luggage around us. The environment around us begins to maybe even subliminally begin to create inside our mind that maybe this hadith or this ayah of the Quran is not so applicable if we look at the world around us, or the environment that I live in, or the cultural practices that we have inside our family and inside the people around us. Or even we can find, even living inside this environment, there are certain cultural practices or luggage that can implement or begin to change our mindset, which is dangerous at times. Because if people are doing a certain practice, that doesn't mean it becomes something which is halal or something which becomes permissible because the people are doing it. Because law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't based upon people or what people like or what people's interests are or what their desires, how they change from one year to another year. It's based upon qawaneen, laws and regulations which are placed there for the bashar, for the human being, to benefit the human being. And some of us, we see some of these ahadith is trivial, which is quite sad to find that we find the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to be trivial, to be small. We shouldn't really pay such attention to such ahadith inside our life. We have a greater cause or more important things that we need to develop inside our life. And rather, even some of them say that these ahadith are remote. They're not relevant in today's time. But as we see that many of the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam are even more applicable and even more relevant or even more dangerous today, that if we carry out those practices compared to what existed before inside the 6th century. The hadith of today that we find on Jarir ibn Abdullah, قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن نظر الفجاءتي. So the companion narrates, I asked the Prophet والسلام, about a sudden glance, that my eyes may fall upon something. فأمرني أن أصرف بصري. And he told me to glance away, to change my sight, to look away, change my vision. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim. In another hadith we find in Abi Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li Aliyin. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam said to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ya Ali, la tutbi' nadrata an-nadra. Oh Ali, don't follow one glance with another glance. So if something comes in front of you, then that is maybe allowed, but turn away. Don't follow it with a continuous glance or looking again. فَإِنَّ لَكَ الْأُولَى وَلَيْسَ لَكَ الْآخِرَةِ. You may have this first sudden glance that may come in front of you, but you have no right to continue to look or to have another glance at hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood. All of this is not trivial, because this is all based upon the Quran. If you look at Surah An-Nur, the 24th chapter of the Quran, you find this surah, the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is speaking about nothing but etiquettes, about hijab, about lowering the gaze, about preserving one's chastity, about people who blaspheme pure men and women, about good men and good women, about relationships, about covering your aura, about entering your homes. Well, these are all some of the aspects, staying away from al-fawahish. These are some of the themes of Surah An-Nur that we find, ayatul hijab that we find, who one can display the beauty to. This is a surah that we need to go back and study. A remembrance not just for the women, but for men as well. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins or mentions inside speaking firstly to the men before speaking to the women. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing men to lower their gazes. وَيَحْفَظُوا فَرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. And that is better for their chastity. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of what they do. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Then Allah addresses the women. Say to the believing women, يَغْضُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. To lower their gazes and to guard their chastity. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. And only let that beauty, which may naturally become apparent in front of them, and some of the ulama has mentioned many times, say that this refers to the hand of the woman or to the face of the woman. So these commandments go firstly to the man, and then they go to the woman to be vigilant about lowering their gaze. The Quran is speaking and saying, lower your gaze. And there's a relationship between the glance, as ulama have deduced, between the glance and the private parts. That the glance is the channel that leads to building up shahwa of desires of the individual for them to carry out any evil practice. And thus we find that to speak and to look at the opposite gender, that some people find it common. Remember, as we began with a cultural society, in this culture, in the Western environment, it's a common theme that they encourage inside schools, inside education, that when you speak to a person, especially when you speak to the opposite gender, you should look at them directly inside their face. You should address them directly. And as we began with, this is their culture. This is their practice. This is their ethics around them. That's not the ethics of a Muslim. The ethics of the Muslim are that they don't look at the opposite gender, that which is non-mahram to them. They don't look at them directly inside their face. If they have to speak, they have to address them, they turn their glance away. And you can read many of the quotes of the Salaf, how they used to speak to people. One of them came in and knocked on the door. And when the wife came to the door, and then the husband asked, who's at the door? She said, it's your friend, Al-Kafif. It's your blind friend who's at the door. Because he would never look directly at whoever came at the door. So she described it as a blind person, and maybe he's blind. His glance is always looking down. Some of this may sound strange to us. It may sound abstract, may sound far away. But this was the practice of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And they face challenges as well, like we face. Obviously, the challenges we face are even more viral. They had a natural desire, natural feeling. The Quran mentions, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَىٰ. Why does the Quran begin by highlighting the first thing that human beings that they love is a desire towards women? So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighting this and then mentions, وَالْبَنِينَ, then children, then wealth, then property, then land, then the tilf, then your animals, your cattle? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know what He has created? He's the most subtle, the most aware. Al-Fudayl ibn Abbas, hadith inside Bukhari, the brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he narrates this hadith that when we were traveling, my brother was traveling for Hajj. كان رديف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was sitting behind the Prophet عليه السلام on a riding beast. And a woman came from a certain tribe to ask a question. A young woman, she came to ask a question about the performance of Hajj. Fadl was looking towards her, and she was looking towards him. And the Prophet ﷺ pushed his face away, turned his face away. Some of the ulama of hadith, they mention that, imagine this is a journey for Hajj. لا تظهر أي زينة للمرأة. No beauty is going to be displayed on a woman whilst traveling for Hajj. They're not going to be in a state of beauty traveling for Hajj. So this is maqam of Hajj, a station of Hajj. Yet look how the Prophet ﷺ sees that he's looking at her. That could lead towards something which is incorrect, a feeling inside his heart. And she's looking exactly the same towards him. So he turned away his face. In another hadith it mentions, he pushed him away so hard. He said that, oh my uncle, why are you pushing me so hard? That you're hurting my neck. That you're pushing me away so much to such a degree. How the fi'lun nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pushing away, that he doesn't carry on looking at this woman that may begin to enter into him. As I said, that the glance is the prelude, is the beginning, is the door to pursue other things. That's again inside Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan. Don't follow the footsteps of the devil. Allah doesn't say straight away follow shaytan. Khutuwati shaytan, the steps, the small steps that lead eventually, that lead the person to carry out doing something haram. وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعْ خُطَوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ Whoever follows the footsteps of the devil, فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Here inside Surah An-Nur, Allah mentions firstly that he orders you with fahsha. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying with fahsha? And then munkar. Evil is greater than fahsha. But to highlight that al-fawahish, at this moment, in this context, it leads an individual towards that. Person should abstain it to stay away from the glance or stay away from looking from a strange woman. As we mentioned, there's many stories that have been documented. Ibn al-Jawzi speaks about the famous Mu'adhin, that his eyes fall upon a glance of a woman, Mar'atun Nasraniya, a Christian woman. Then he gets down from the minbar and he goes and wants to marry her. Father says that it's not going to be possible for you to marry her until you don't become a Christian. For he becomes a Christian, enters the state of Christianity, and the father places a great big salib over his neck. And then in the night, he thinks he's going to be married to this woman. He goes on top of the roof, and he slips, and he falls, and he dies. Mata Nasraniyan, kafiran, died as a Christian. Ibn al-Jawzi narrates this inside his works, speaking about the impact of the glance. Maybe this could be just a story. But it's something that we should be vigilant about. It is the poison arrow of the devil in a hadith which is weak, which is da'if. But many ulama use istidlal of this hadith to show the danger of the glance. An-nadratu saham min saham, iblis masmuma. The glance is from amongst the poison arrows of the devil. It's not just an arrow of the devil, it's a poisoned arrow. That when it hits the target, it hits the heart, it hits the mind, then it begins to poison the heart. As they say that love blinds, leads the individual to do so many things. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا مِنْ خَوْفِ اللَّهِ أَثَابَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِيمَانًا يَجِدْ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي إِيمَانِهِ Person leaves it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah places, rewards, recompenses that individual with sweetness of iman inside his heart. As we mentioned, this hadith is da'if, but there's many other hadith that ulama have collected that when a person does lower their gaze, Allah places halawatul iman, sweetness of iman, inside the heart of the individual. We find inside the Quran to show the proof of a person who controls their lusts and their desires. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى Whoever fears his Lord and prevents their soul, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى prevents their soul from lusts and desires, arousing temptations, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى For that individual, the reward will be of nothing less but paradise. As for that which is pure and authentic inside the hadith, inside Muslim that we find in Bukhari that we find as well, whereby the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلِ ابْنِ آدَمَ حَظَّهُ مِنَ الزِّنَى Indeed, Allah has written down upon the son of Adam his fair share of zina. Ajib. Kaif. How is that going to be possible? That for every single son of Adam, his fair share of zina has been written down. We find al-ayn, for zina al-ayn, the zina of the ayn is another. The zina of the ayn is to glance at that which is haram. The zina of the tongue is al-mantik, is to speak something which is haram, which is forbidden. Wa zina al-yad is al-batsh. The zina of the hands is to touch something which is forbidden. Wa zina al-rijl al-mashi ila al-haram. The zina of the legs is to walk towards anything which is haram. Then other ahadith make mention the fornication of the ears to listen to something which is haram. And then the private parts, to saddiquhu or to kadhibuhu. Then the private parts affirm all of that or they reject it. Meaning the person is aroused and follows all of that, then they're going to lead into zina. They're going to fall into haram. And that's the Quran, it mentions, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ السَّبِيلًا Quran says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. Quran doesn't say, وَلَا تَفْعَلُوا. Quran doesn't say to us, don't commit zina. Quran says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. In Usul al-Fiqh, سَدُّ الْأَبْوَابِ سَدُّ الذُّرِيَّةِ. Closing any doors, anything that leads to haram, as far as the Sharia is concerned, is closed. It's closed. As we began with, people may come with their own cultural understanding and their own understandings that there's nothing wrong with certain practice, certain things that we do. The Sharia looks at the end result. Even if one person suffers, one person does haram, then everything is haram. The Sharia doesn't say that, oh, just because a few people may do something, a few people can control their desires, let us overlook the rules and regulations. That's not what the Sharia says. The Sharia looks at a holistic approach. That if even if one person enters into haram, then that's enough to close the doors. And that's going back to Surah An-Nur. Look at the beginning of Surah An-Nur. What is the punishment for the people who commit adultery? The punishment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down upon these individuals. And that's what we find going back to hadith, the sudden glance. That fujaatan, something suddenly comes in front of your face. You know, a person could be shopping in the mall, doing certain things. Somebody comes on the door. Somebody could exchange a few words. It can happen. We're realistic in the world that we live in. That can happen to any individual. So the person diverts their glance. What is forbidden to continue that glance, to follow with another glance. وَلَيْسَتْ لَكَ الْآخِرَةِ. There's no right for you to have another glance towards that which is forbidden. And then we find what is known as the modern glance. The ruling is the same. People say, عَلَى التَّلْفَازِ عَلَى الشَّاشَةِ. And on the computer, on the TV, or the phone, or whatever it may be, that's not really looking at the opposite gender. Who says that? That's once again a modernistic approach that we find, that people have their own interpretation. The hadith, the Quran is clear. Say to the believing men, يَغُدُّوا أَبْصَارُهُمْ, to lower their gazes. And to lower, to hear, that you find, the word, the kalima, even in Arabic language, means physically, just to lower yourself. As we find inside Surah Al-Hujurat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتُهُمْ, those who lower their voices. The Quran says that don't raise your voice in front of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so lower your voice, bring it down. Likewise, bring your eyesight down. Drift it away, turn it away. So a person needs to be vigilant. Obviously we know it's a modern world, people need access to the media, whatever it may be, but a Muslim should be vigilant. A Muslim shouldn't be carefree. Even in the world of channels of media that we find, even the news, what do you find? Even amongst the Muslim channels that you find, Al-Kashifat, you find not dressed appropriately, no hijab, not veiled appropriately, excessive beauty, just the news. But why? All of this for what reason? To place a fitna there for people, or to make it as something acceptable. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءَ. Fear the dunya and fear women. Because the first fitna that struck Bani Israel, كانت في النساء. The first fitna that led them to drift away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the fitna of women. So TV presenters that we find, news broadcasters that we find, a person should be vigilant about this. Even the companions posed that question, they asked. That Prophet alayhi salam, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسِ فِي الطُّرَقَاتِ. Woe upon you to sit in the streets. They said, but we have no choice. Just like in today's world, people may live in flats or in estates or an environment whereby they don't have a garden, they don't have an environment. We're realistic. Prior to this, the Prophet ﷺ, he was realistic. And he said to these companions that if you have to sit in the streets, then you have to do what? Is give haqqul tariq. Give the rights of the street. And he mentioned four. Ghaddul basar, to lower one's sight. Kafful adha, to remove something which is harmful. Raddul salam, to return the salam. وَالْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, the fourth, and وَالنَّهِ أَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. These are five things he mentioned inside this hadith. Ibn Hajar Asqalani, in his Sharh Sahih Bukhari, explained this hadith. He brings 14 حقوق. And he places them in lines of poetry. That these are, he collects the various hadiths, that these are the 14 rights if a person sits in the street. But what concerns us is, أولاً, فَقَالَ الرَّسُولَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ. If you have to enter the streets, you have to sit in the streets, you have to engage in the streets, then غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ, the first thing that you need to do is lower your gaze. We find this concept of being vigilant, that a lot of this goes back to people who have the power, people who have the authority, or people inside control of some of these things, that need to be vigilant regarding this. As we return back to Surah An-Nur, that we find that some of them may do it intentionally, some of them unintentionally. If they're unintentionally doing it, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them to that which is correct, and intentionally they should be warned of such punishments that we find. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Quran once again, says Surah An-Nur, it mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ, those who love to spread fahisha, vice, immorality, sexual promiscuity, lewdness, wickedness, misconduct, bad behavior inside society, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. For them will be a severe punishment inside this dunya and again inside the al-akhirah. So the Quran is telling us that a person shouldn't become a person who encourages lewdness, wickedness, immorality. Quran is telling us that maybe a person may fall into sin themselves. That's between that person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But don't become one who creates environments of muharramat, of haram things for people to enter into haram. And that's, as we mentioned, that these ayat, not just for the men folk, but for the women folk as well. A person should understand the context, the language of the Quran. Whenever the Quran speaks about Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, al-khatab li jami' al-nas, lil-nisa'i wal-rijal, for men and women. When the Quran wants to be specific, it will speak about inna al-muslimina wal-muslimat wal-mu'minina wal-mu'minat. It will address Muslim men, Muslim women, believing men, believing women. It will say man amila salihan, whoever does good deeds. And they are believing in an individual, whether they're male or female. The Quran will address them specifically. And this is takhsis, to give them more privilege, more rank, more dignity, more honor. But whenever the Quran speaks generally, it's for everyone. That we all need to be observant of these rules and regulations. And thus, as they say, that it is a two-way traffic. That a glance isn't just from the man, as we've proven, it's from the woman as well. There's a concept of acceptance. That a woman returns the glance. And that's very strange, it is inside the Quran. If you concentrate upon the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions wasariqu wasariqatu, when Allah speaks about the person who's the thief, Allah mentions the male thief and then the female thief. Because a female thief would be rare. Common practice would be the male thief. But inside Surah An-Nur, when Allah mentions, speaks about zina, Allah mentioned az-zaniyatu waz-zani. Tuqaddim al-mar'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned az-zaniyatu, the adulterous woman, was-zani, then the adulterous man. Limada? Because there's a concept of qabul, of acceptance. He aradiya. She accepted. She's happy, she's content. There was no force. She was happy, content with the fa'il, with the response. So she's equally blameworthy as the man. Both of them are blameworthy. Is as far as the Quran is concerned, that the person should be vigilant about. That's for our women folk. We should go back to Surah An-Nur, as we find, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. Go back and study these ayat. Tell them to take their khimar, take their veil, take their outer garments over their bodily parts. And obviously the position, a moment being in khutbah, doesn't allow us to become more expressive and detailed, but read the tafsir of ulama tafasir, how they explain what it means, ala juyubihinna, what it refers to, quite clearly, how they should cover themselves inside society. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. And only that which becomes naturally apparent, accidentally may become apparent for them, is allowed for them. And not to expose their beauty, إِلَّا لِبُعُولَتِهِنَّ, except for to their household members. And then the list, it goes down, explaining who their household members are, that their beauty is for whom? For their husbands, for their sons, for their brothers, for their uncles, for their nephews. The list is there. Azina isn't for the world, for the people, as what people, this modern concept of hijab, that time and time we have to highlight to people, as we began with a cultural understanding, that this is libasul mar'a, this is the dress of the woman living in the modern world, in the 21st century. This is not the hijab of the Quran and the Sunnah, unfortunately. And that's inside this month of Ramadan, we should all reflect upon ourselves. The ayat, it continues and it mentions, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That you may become successful individuals. That's what we should do inside this month of Ramadan. Reflect, make tawbah إِلَى اللَّهِ subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever there's taqseer, ظَاهِرًا أَوْ بَاطِنًا, taqseer, deficiency, apparent or hidden. We're all human beings. We're not here to have a go at people or to tell off people or to ridicule people or to put people in Jahannam, put people inside Jannah. That's not our task and our role. Our role is to encourage everyone to tubu ila Allah. All of us to repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa tubu ila Allah jami'an ayyuha al-mu'minuna la'allakum tuflihun. That all of us repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we become successful individuals. Thus we find that tawbah wal istighfar is one of the key ingredients of removing calamities and hardships. That when people become full of repentance and remorse and returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to repent and make tawbah and return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.